So everybody needs a well-balanced meal, right? All right, praise God. Let's look in the Word of the Lord at John chapter 8, verse 53. We're going to go from 53 through to verse number 56. Praise God. And Brother Soundman, can you help us with that clip that we showed last night at prayer meeting? Not right now, but in a little while. He's confused, Brother John, if you can help him out. I don't think he was involved in that. That's why he's confused. He's not confused because he don't know what he's doing. I'm glad he's back there. You would not want me back there. Praise the Lord. I'm not like that one preacher that said, when the Lord said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, he said they were speaking. He was speaking to a sound man. But I don't believe that. Not ours anyway. Praise God. All right, John chapter 8, 53. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? Now, we got to understand that Abraham is known as the father of the Jews, and he is dead, and the prophets are dead. And then they said, whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It's my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like you are. Wow. Go, Lord. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham, and this is what I want you to see. Your father Abraham rejoiced. Everybody shout rejoiced. In other words, Abraham was glad. Jesus said, Abraham was glad to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Wow. He rejoiced and was glad to see the day of the Lord. So we have an Old Testament patriarch that was able to see a New Testament miracle unfold. Did you catch that? Praise God. Let's, if you would, if you're not tired and weary of praying, I ask you to join with me in prayer right now. And as we endeavor to preach, let's make them rejoice. Let's make them rejoice. Join with me in prayer right now, would you? Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, by your divine spirit, wonderful power, by your wonderful presence and goodness and mercy, I ask you, Holy Ghost, to move upon this message. Bless the messenger, Lord, for the word of God is already blessed. And I pray, God, that you would speak deep to our hearts and our minds and our souls. In the wonderful and the mighty name of the Lord. Everybody shouted amen. God bless you. You're seated just now. Now, I don't know, for several weeks in a row, we have certainly enjoyed, well, for many years, we have enjoyed the great blessings of the Lord and the anointing of God and the goodness of God. But of late, it's been hard to get to preach because the worship would just take over the service. I had one gentleman tell me this past week, he said, I can't believe your church. I said, how come? He said, I visited. And he said, it's just a mess. I said, what are you saying? He said, it's just chaos. I said, okay, explain that. He said, people just, their hands everywhere and just doing this stuff and noise and all of this everywhere. He said, I couldn't hear a thing anybody was saying. It was just confusion. Then he said, you got to understand, I'm first something else. And it's a long way from what we are. And I said, oh, I understand. I said, that's quite a leap in it, isn't it? He said, that is an understatement. I said, well, if you ever get serious enough, let me know, and I'll give you the word of God as to why we are so excited about our God. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, that's all it is. We are simply excited about our God. And we're glad to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I believe that every church, everywhere, ought to worship God. The Bible says that things ought to be done decently and in order. Personally, I feel it's indecent to come into a house that belongs to God and not let Him know that you're glad to be there. Where is all the worship gone? Where has all the praise gone? Why is there such stiffness in some places? Why is there such quietness in the house of God? When God is alive, shouldn't the church be alive? This is the family of God. You go into anybody's family that's not expecting you to come, and it's going to be kind of like that guy said, it's going to be a mess. There's going to be some noise, kids here and there, and this happening and that happening. Because, it's just a family. That's where a family. Hey, this is the family of God. At any given time, somebody's going to say, amen. They're going to say, right, right, right. They're going to say, hallelujah. They're going to say, praise the Lord. They're going to say, thank you, Jesus, because He is alive and here to hear it. Amen. Praise God. And so, we make no apologies for worshiping the Lord. I'm going to give you a philosophy of mine, and that's all it is. And I want to make sure I point that out. Amen. Because there's so many Bible, man-made Bible doctrines going around right now. I want to be sure that I am clear on the fact that this is simply my opinion. However, I do believe I have a little Bible to back me up as such that I have read to you already this morning. But I think that there are those that have gone before us that are able to view us, see us, and hear us in times when we are not able to see and hear and be with them. I just do. There have been many times that I have been in prayer in this sanctuary. I like to get here every day that I possibly can and pray and reach out to God. When I'm not out of town preaching somewhere, or in a conference somewhere or whatever, then sometime during that day, I am going to be in this sanctuary praying and believing God for a move of God. And there have been many times that I've had to glance over here, or I would turn my head to look back there because I felt a presence. And I feel it right now. I feel the same thing this very moment that I feel when I'm here alone. And I'm just looking for the day that I glance up and the Lord allows me to see it. And I because there's no fear, there's no trembling, and there's no doubt. It's not like, I watched a horror flick and I can't sleep because I'm afraid. Amen. We don't do that. Because we don't want to live our lives in fear. Christians should never live their lives in fear. But expectation. Amen. I just believe that. I just believe that. There's been times at home I walk by my mother-in-law's picture. I see Sister Whitman. And I see her smiling at me from that photograph. And I'm thinking, I see you smiling, but are you really looking at me? Can you see what's going on around here? There's a couple of incidences that come to my mind right now, like the rich man that saw Abraham, cried for him, for several things. He had a prayer request, but when you're in hell, it's too late to have a prayer request. And then Jesus even verifying the fact that, talking about your father Abraham, he rejoiced when he saw my day. And then, let me give you a scripture. Look at Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 3 with me. I know this is a little different on Sunday morning, but let me talk to you just a little while. Matthew 17, verses 1 through 3. The Bible said, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and he brought them up into a high mountain apart from everyone else. And he was transfigured before their very eyes, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light." But let's look what happened. "And behold, there appeared unto them Moses, Elias, talking with him." So not only were they able to see Jesus' day, they appeared. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Let me tell you something else that I feel would be awesome, is to be able to leave this life and to be with Jesus and then to come back to Landmark anytime I wanted to. So don't forget, if Pastor ever leaves, he might still be here. So behave yourself. Hallelujah. It's humorous, but could it be true? I just feel that if Jesus had the opportunity to make Abraham rejoice that he saw his day, I would love to live my life in a way that once I was gone, that Abraham also rejoiced to see my day. Hallelujah. It is a challenge of mine to please those that built this church ahead of me. Amen. They didn't necessarily drive the nails in this building. I know this building and I know this land, and all of this was purchased in my tenure. But this doctrine was born over 2,000 years ago. And it would please me to the marrow of my bone to know that my life was pleasing to those patriarchs that gave their lives for this gospel. How about some of us? I wonder if I could challenge and charge some of us here today to take on the challenge to live your lives in a way that it would please those that went before us as well. Wouldn't it be an awesome thing for Abraham to give you high five for the life you lived when you made it to the streets of glory? I think he understands that because I believe he sees our day. Amen. Wouldn't it be awesome to hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," because knowing that I know for sure that his eyes are upon me every day that I live. Amen. How about us living our lives not just to please ourselves, but to please those that went ahead of us, and to let them know it's still going, it's still working. People are still living in holiness. People are still worshiping you in spirit and in truth. People are still speaking in that heavenly language. Folks are still being baptized, Jesus, in your wonderful name. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that an awesome idea? Hallelujah. And so some of you are just now coming in on the scene. I don't know whose shoes you're going to fill in the future, but I promise you, you're going to fill somebody's, because this legacy must live on. We lost another giant this week, in that we lost Brother James Kilgore. Just an absolute giant. He didn't stand. If he was taller than me, it was just by not an inch. He was a short man, but he was a giant. He was a great, great man of God. Died in his 80s. Planted churches, built schools on foreign soil. I remember preaching in the Philippines, and they had us visit a college there in the Philippines. And I walked. I didn't even know this until I got there and was walking up the front steps, and I looked and it had Brother Kilgore's name there, Apostolic College, because he personally gave the money to build that college in the Philippines. And it goes on and on and on what this great man accomplished. Today, he has gone on to his great reward. It's as if he finally arrived where he wanted to go. He's there today. But we are left here to carry on his legacy. Who is the next James Kilgore? Is he in this congregation? Does he reside? Is he a young man? Hallelujah. Is his spirit going to rest upon and within one of these young ladies? Are they going to take his place? Hey, come on. What are we going to do with this legacy we have? This apostolic message, this Pentecostal heritage. What are we going to do with this? Are we going to let it rest and relax? Are we going to let it die and grow cold? Are we going to let it languish in the sanctuary? I refuse to sit down, shut up, to be still, and let it die. Brother Kilgore, if you're watching this boot, if you're watching this service, if you are with us today, if you chose to be at Landmark this morning, I want you to know right now that we take on the challenge. We receive it. I feel like I'm standing on the edge of the line waiting for somebody to pick me to be on the team. And I'm leaping up and down saying, please, pick me. Pick me. I want to play. I want to be a part of this. This is an awesome thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so it is. Here before too long, we'll be celebrating the anniversary of Pentecost on the day of Pentecost. I'm glad that we set that time aside and do that. Amen. Today is another anniversary, a great anniversary. I celebrate 34 minutes with my wife. Or is it 34 years? It seems like 34 minutes. Because when you're happy, time goes fast. That was no accident. I meant to say that. Amen. Time, you know, what did Jacob say about Rachel? Had to work another 7 years for this lady, but it seemed like a few days. And so it is. We celebrate our 34th anniversary today. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I rejoice about that. I hate she had a virus. I couldn't even kiss her this morning. Praise God. But, you know, in a few days, I'll make up for it. Look at me funny if you want to, but I got a license. A lot of folks around here can't say that. I didn't say in here. Praise God. I better move on. Praise the Lord. So, we can't shut up. We can't sit down. We can't give up. We can't give in. And we can't give out. Can I give you some pointers on how to read your Bible? Before I give you some pointers on how to read your Bible, let me give you this. Is it going to work? Can we do this? Let's do this, brother. Amen. We got time. Don't we have time? You're just going to spend money in a restaurant anyway. So. Watch this. It's gift time in an Asian country. Look how excited they are. What is the gift? What is this gift that brings tears to their eyes? What is this gift that they want to kiss and testify? Without knowing the language, we know exactly what she's saying, don't we? So grateful for this precious black book Notice how hesitant they are to even open it because it's so precious to them. The Word of God. The Word of God. Hallelujah. Now I'm fixing to give folks pointers on how to read it. Please don't make me have to give you pointers on why I should. Everyone knows that they should read the Word of God. And everyone knows that we need a daily dose because it's a mainstay of our spiritual diet. Amen. How to read the Bible? You read to succeed. And the greatest success that I could think of today is making heaven my home. And so if you want to succeed in that, you must know the Word of God. Praise God. And then secondly, today's reader will be tomorrow's leader. You're not going to lead anything in this church if you don't have a diet of the Word of God. Amen. Nobody is a leader just because they want to be. Nobody is a leader just because they want to be. It's a divine design sent from God. I can't appoint you until we feel it in the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter how much talent, doesn't matter how much knowledge. Please don't get upset at us. Amen. I've got to hear from God or I don't move at all. But when I hear from God, I will move. And if you're not there, I will stretch you. I will charge and challenge until there's change. Amen. Because today's reader will be tomorrow's leader. Thirdly, the Word does not adjust, but we must. You can't adjust the Word of God to you. We must adjust to the Word of God. Amen. And then fourthly, we read to rule. We must rule some things. We're not going to be the big boss of this world. The Lord is. But we can be the big boss of the flesh and the world in us and the enemy that tries to rule over us. And if you want to rule supreme, you must load your guns. Right? This is our ammunition against the enemy of our souls. Amen. So we read to rule. And then number five, read the Word of God. How many of you, just be honest with me, and I'm going to raise my hand. How many of you today have a need? Just a need. No matter how small, minute, large, great. There are a ton of needs in this building right now. We read the Word of God to find out what it says to my need. Right? The answer to your need is what you get to read, and that is the Word of God. Amen. Don't forget that. So one of our goals should be to become a pillar to this church. Not just a bystander, not just viewing, not on the outside looking in, not on the inside of the fence looking over, or wherever it may be. Our goal should be to one day, no matter how long it takes, to become a pillar to this assembly. Amen. Because the larger the foundation, the more structure, the more muscle we need to hold it all together. Amen. And a lot of things about a building that are most important, you can't even see. I don't even remember where the main beams are to hold these. I don't even, somebody asked me, is that a load-bearing wall? I don't even know. I hardly even know what that means. But I do know that within these walls, there are certain beams that are meant for muscle. And they're the ones that hold this all together. And without them, this thing would crumble. And so it is. I'm not asking for people that want attention and want limelight. But I am pleading for pillars. I am pleading for main beams. I am pleading for muscle. I am pleading for those that would love to help us hold this structure together. If you've been in this church 6 months, if you've been in here a year, if you've been in here 5 years, 6 years, don't you think it's time to stop burping the baby and pull the pacifier and get rid of the milk and let's start chewing on some meat and let's become what we need to be for the glory of God? Let's get some meat in this house so we can take it further into reaching the lost. For another Pentecost. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that should be your goal. Amen. When Samson broke the pillars to the temple literally fell. The Bible said he destroyed more of his enemy that day than he did in any other time. You're called, we are called to hold things up. I'd rather fail helping someone triumph than triumph helping someone fail. There are people that are so quick to spread bad news. They're so quick to run with the negative. Why don't we just do the opposite from here at Landmark? Instead of helping people fail and making their depression even deeper, why don't we lift them up? Why don't we build them? I know that's not popular. Amen. But why don't we build them? Why don't we give them greater faith? Why don't we let them know that tomorrow's going to be a better day? I don't have to know what you've been through because I know where you're going to. So I don't need to know the news. I just need to tell you something. Everything's going to be all right because everything still works together for the good for those that love the Lord. The called, the elect, the righteous, the good, the ones that worship Him, the ones that praise Him. I've got something else to tell you, and that is this. This world didn't make you, so don't let it break you. The devil didn't make you, so don't let him break you. The Lord made you, and He's got a place to take you. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I know it's not spit and speed, and I know we're not going 98 and busting the gate, but I'm just telling you, the Holy Ghost is speaking to us this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Locusts crawl over the bodies of their dead comrades to devour the land. You're here to take America and the world for the sake of truth, apostolic values, and this Pentecostal heritage. You must crawl over anything carnal, sinful, or not godlike that gets in your way. You've got to take and make Abraham rejoice that he had the chance to see your day. There's a sound that people make when they're disappointed. You've heard it. I've heard it. Here it is. You ever heard that? Yeah. Do it with me. Never thought about that. Spell that. I've done it, and I've heard it while they were looking at me. That's really bad. When they keep going, one's not so bad, but boy, when it sounds like a semi-automatic, that's bad. I don't want Abraham looking at me making that noise. I don't want Abraham looking at me shaking his head. God forbid that he ever says, like the Lord, it had been better had he not been born. I want to live to make these folks rejoice. And I want to live to make Jesus rejoice. Hallelujah. I want Abraham to look at us today and say, yes! You ever heard that? Every successful ministry, every successful saint of God, will eventually stand on the shoulders of a dead man of God. You're to see to it that he will rest in peace. This nation was built upon two principles, morality and Christianity, whether at the White House they like it or not. It was built on morality, and it was built on Christianity. You can't be successful in this country without these principles for very long, because they are its foundation. That's why prisons and jails are full, because too many are trying to take shortcuts to success. People out there are working harder at being a failure than they would have to work on an 8-hour-a-day job. It's hard being homeless. It's hard. It's hard being a drug addict. It's hard being addicted. You hear what I'm saying? Amen. That's because they're trying to find joy in another way. But this nation wasn't built on that. This nation was built on morality and Christianity. So get some morals about yourself. Get some character and some integrity about yourself. And become a child of God. And watch the true joy of the Lord begin to flow like a river. Because that's what this nation was built upon. People that are always crossed with everything else and everybody else are people that are trying to take shortcuts without the morality part and without the Christian part. So, where do wise men build their house? On the rock. Who is that rock? The elders are not afraid of our future if the young are not afraid to shape it. Be very careful that your favor doesn't become a fever. Or I'm sorry, your fervor. Fervor's good. Fever's a sickness. It's one thing to have fervor. It's another thing to have fever. People get a fever about wanting to get where they're going. Let's not get it mixed up. You can have fervor, but your fervor will take a break every now and then, and you'll go back to the rock so he can build exactly where you need to go. And you'll develop a fervor to get where his will is rather than a fever to get where you want to be. Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy. There it is again. Making your elders rejoice that they saw your day. And not with grief, for that's unprofitable to you. Attitude will determine your altitude. Every time. Amen. I can teach anyone how to be a Christian. I can teach anyone how to be used in ministry and all of that, but I cannot teach you to get along with people. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a choice. Ministry that can't manage attitude, saints of God that can't manage attitude, leaders, departments, churches that can't manage attitude will always, I'm just going to say it, they're going to eat hamburgers and french fries the rest of their lives. And you say, what's wrong with that? I didn't say anything was wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with having a steak every now and then. Praise God. Hearts. You know what? I don't want someone coming along and paying my way. David taught me that a long time ago in the Old Testament when he got ready to offer sacrifice. And the gentleman said, you're my king. I'm going to give you this. You take my threshing floor, you take all of this, and you just sacrifice it, it's yours free. And David said, no, I'm going to pay you something for it, because when I sacrifice it, I want it to be mine. This life that I live, whatever develops out of it, whatever comes out of it, I want to know that some of it came about by just true grit. And knuckles of blood, and just giving it everything I've got instead of just passed down to me and just handed out to me and just given to me, and me having an attitude if I didn't get what I wanted instead of what I needed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. We need more people in America that will stand up and make their own way and blaze their own trails. Make their mind up that I'm not dependent on the government. I'm not dependent on mom and dad, especially when you're 40 or 50 years old. Hallelujah. I don't have to be dependent on anybody. I'm a man. I've got a backbone. I've got grit. I've got guts. I've got muscle. I've got sense. I can think. I have a spirit. I've got a mind. I can make this thing work. Woo. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so this is a gimme, gimme, take generation. But we don't have to be a part of that. We can make those rejoice that have gone ahead of us. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you. Let me just say this. Let me make a point here, and I'm moving along. Mercy needs more than a message. Mercy needs more than just a beautiful sermon today. You know what mercy needs? Mercy needs a face. It needs a face. So the next time your sister makes you so mad, you could just flatten her nose. Put on some mercy. The next time your brother does something against you that was totally not right, and I'm going to tell you something, saints of God, listen to me clearly. When your brother asks of a favor from you, if he borrows money, if you let him use your car, if you give him tools to borrow tools, if you whatever, just know this. When you do that for him, he is going to treat you like a brother. Now, you know how growing up brothers treat one another. You borrow a tool, you may never see it again. You're my brother, you gave me that tool, it's mine too. So know that before you borrow and before you lend. Know that. Hallelujah. And there's nothing wrong with a brother coming up and say, hey, you got $50. I saw it in your wallet. I need it. You can look back at him and say, I'm not giving it to you because I don't want to be treated like a brother. Just know in advance, there's a chance that you may be treated like a brother. Amen. We're family. You owe that to me. I just got water all over me. I am baptizing everybody lately. Hallelujah. And so mercy needs more than a message. It needs a face. Don't talk the talk if you have no intention of walking the walk. We're not just mouths to speak. We are feet and arms and hands and hearts and vehicles to carry the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. It's one thing to shout it to them, but it's another thing to deliver it to them. Right? Don't ever get up here behind this pulpit flat-footed and point at people and say, you got more than that. Come on. You can do more than that. Come on. You can leap for joy. Come on. No. We don't do that at Landmark. We lead people. You don't lead by pushing. You lead by leading. Amen. Wasn't that phenomenal? Praise the Lord. I did an example one time in a leadership meeting, and I took a leather belt one time, and then another time I took a rope, and I said, now come down here and lead that rope somewhere. And I got a volunteer, and they took that rope by the front, and they pulled it all over the place. And I said, put it back up there. And I said, now come and lead that rope by pushing it. And all it would do was just bunch up to the front. We lead by leading. If you want somebody to go where they need to go, take them. Amen. Don't step out in front just because you're the leader of the day and say, all right, everybody, come on now, worship God. No, they're not going to do that. They're trained not to do that at Landmark. But if you'll lead them, they'll go right there with you. Amen. You may be seated. So, no one cares how much you preach until you preach how much you care. John 17:19-20, if you're truly called of God, not by mom and dad, then sanctify yourselves, because your word is as important as God's word. Men will live or die by the words that the saints of God speak from this house. Men are going to live or die by the words we speak as we go out from this house. We have the same creative force within us that God has. The very moment He fills us with the Holy Ghost, He filled us with the Spirit that created this universe. Obey them that have the rule over you. Subject yourselves to authority. Pastor, leadership, amen. Do as you're told. Go on rejoicing, and you will have your day. Keep your eyes off the world. Jesus didn't concern Himself with this world. John 17:9, He said, I pray not for the world, but for them that you gave me that are in this world. The Lord could care less about the way they do it. Charismatic figureheads are not the authority of the day. You will get to a place where you will not have to be the man. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. In other words, it could be dangerous for somebody to look at you and say, you're the man. Nathan looked at David and said, you're the man. Read that story. Get completely out of the darkness and live in His marvelous light. Hidden vices, addictions have got to be sacrificed on this altar of true repentance before any advancement can take place in your relationship with God. Amen? He can't pull you from darkness until the darkness is pulled from you. You can't complain about what you allow. Make up your mind that you're going to make Abraham rejoice to see your day. Build the character of Jesus Christ through the Word of God. And when you know His Word, I promise you will know Him. Amen? Praise God. You are a revelation to this generation. The victor, and not another ministerial, and not another child of God victim. You are the victor. So, don't hide in the dark what God gave you in the light. Amen. Make Abraham rejoice. You are salvation to your generation. And do not be afraid or ashamed to show them Jesus. Amen. Praise God. If it ain't broke, it can't be fixed. He will break you in order to make you. Hallelujah. The Bible said He blessed it, and then He broke it, and then He gave it. Thank God for the blessing, but you can't live in that blessing all your lives. You say, why is it every time I try to live for God, all hell breaks loose? Because that's the breaking. He blessed you when you first came. Now let's get off the pacifier and let Him do some breaking. So that after you are broken, He can give you to this generation. And be that you can be that blessing to someone else. He's still blessing, but He's still breaking, and He's still giving. Amen. Let's stand together. Let me make a couple more simple points. Learn how to stay when you pray. Young people, listen to me very closely. You know, we turn and accidentally our eyes meet with young people and during prayer, and then they'll go, minutes later we look over again and they go. Learn how to stay when you pray. Once you start praying, stay in prayer until something happens. Not just a couple of words and looking around, a couple of words, a little fellowship, a couple of words, a little bit of giggle, a couple of words, a little bit of Google, a couple of words, Facebook, a couple of words, texting. Listen to me. Put all of that aside for just a few moments. It will not go to heaven with you. It can't go with you. So lay things aside that can't be attached to you when you leave this world for a little while. And when you pray, stay for a while. Connect for a while. We're not praying just to be able to say when we get up, we prayed. We're praying to make connection with God. Right? And so learn how to stay when you pray. Hallelujah. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is what I would like to close on here today. I would like for us, to reach out to God this morning. And when we begin to reach out to God, I want us to stay for a couple minutes. Who knows? That healing that you needed, it could come. That Holy Ghost you've never received, that experience with God that you've always desired, it could come. It could happen. If we could just stay in there for just a few moments. I'd like to open the altars up for whosoever will, to invite you to come and stand with us this morning and to reach out to the Lord and to touch Him right now and just begin to call on the name of Jesus. I don't want to try and convince anybody of anything. I'm not going to beg and plead. All the Lord does is knock. But if you'll ever open it, there's such joy waiting for you that you will not be able to fathom. There's such time would not permit me to tell, but I'm just saying, if you would come. If you would reach out to God, let's reach out. If you would but touch Him right now, let's touch Him, because I know that He wants to touch you. I know He wants to minister to you. I know He wants to reach out to you. And so let's just believe the Lord all over this house right now, that when we leave this building, our minds will be made up to make Abraham rejoice that he saw the day that I lived, that he saw the days that I worshiped God, that he saw the days that I magnified the Lord. Let's call on the name of Jesus together. Let's reach out to the Lord together. That's right. Praise Him. The Holy Ghost may break out. Revival could break out. An anointing could break out. And all over you right now. Oh, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Deliverance could break out. Anointing. Another level. Another dimension could happen right now. Stay. Stay there. Stay in there for a few moments. Stay in there for a few moments. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Wonderful God. Wonderful God. Wonderful God. Wonderful God. Wonderful God. Wonderful God. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Believing God, believing the Lord, believing the Lord, believing the Lord, believing the Lord, magnifying the name of Jesus, worshiping the name of the Lord. Reach out to Him, church. Let the Holy Ghost flow. We're doing a wonderful thing right here, right now. We're doing a great thing right here, right now. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, yes, 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 yes. God, I want Abraham to rejoice. I want Moses to rejoice. I want Elijah to rejoice. Jesus, I want you to rejoice. Oh, mighty God, the last thing I ever want to be is a disappointment. Oh, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God.
My vessel is empty.
Hallelujah.
My vessel is empty.
Hallelujah.
Lord, my vessel is empty. And I am.
You leave a service like this, you just want to say, ain't God somebody? Hallelujah. Shake somebody's hand, hug somebody's neck, greet our guests and our visitors.